Blog Talk Radio.
Now, how many of you know that Jesus reigns?
Another live broadcast of God's Word to Man. I am Brother Manny, and this evening, this afternoon, this morning, wherever you are listening in the world, we welcome you. We welcome you. We thank God for you, and we are excited to be before you today. This afternoon, we have our brother back with another word from the Lord. Today's title, The Last Days, The Last Days. And I don't want to even wait. I want to go ahead and I want to bring the brother on so he can begin the message. I know it's very important. And so without further ado, I want to welcome Brother Daniel Rogers. Brother Daniel, are you there?
Just fine, thank you, Brother Manuel.
How's everything going?
Better and better every day and every way.
Amen, amen. I was just telling the people that we talked a little earlier, and you said that you had a word from the Lord about the last days. So whenever you're ready, you can take it away, Brother Daniel.
Okay, thank you, thank you. Well, Lord, I want to pray first. Lord, help us and give us words to say and ears to hear. And enlighten us to your holy word, and let nothing come forth except truth. In Jesus' name, get all the praise, the honor, and the glory, for thou alone art worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. Well,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I believe we are living in the last part of the last days. The life of Abraham is a type, just like the life of Christ is a type. We won't get in the type of the life of Christ because of the time limit, but it was 1917 years before Christ was born that God called Abraham and made a covenant with him. And And in thee all the people of the earth will be blessed. And sure enough, it's come to pass in Christ, especially spiritually speaking, naturally too, but that's another whole subject. And Mama told me, said, don't try to preach the whole Bible in one sermon. But at any rate, then Christ was born, and the spiritual part was fulfilled. And then 1917 A.D., in other words, last century, the Turks were conquered, the Gentiles, by England. And England ran them off. And the Bible prophesied that it would be conquered by like birds flying. And that's in Isaiah. And sure enough, the general of the English, he sent planes out, little old-fashioned, old bi-wing planes, and scattered out. You know, they had a machine gun that would shoot bullets between the propellers, going kind of slow back in old days, I guess. Any rate, that scared the Turks. They're fighting with swords and whatever, and maybe some old muzzle loaders. They took off. And that was prophesied, and he didn't have to use his cannons because he didn't want to destroy any of the sacred holy sites. And the English general, and he marched in and took it over and made it a protectorate under England. And that was one of the great signs of the end times. There were three, all in 1917. The second one was the beginning of communist Russia, when the Bolshevik revolution was taken over by the communists, and they killed off the Tsar and his family, communists did, and set up a new rule under Lenin, who was the father of the revolution of communism. And so there you had the second great sign. And the third great sign was we entered the First World War and made it closer to it. It wasn't a world war, technically speaking, but that's what history calls it, so we'll go along with that. But we entered the First World War. 10 million people were killed. First time there'd ever been such a thing. And started using tanks and small ones, you know, weren't big and powerful like they got now, but they were a weapon of terror and horrible death and destruction. And big artillery guns. They even still use some horseback cavalry, believe it or not. Not a lot, but some. And that was the third sign of the beginning of the end times. Or you could call it the beginning of sorrows in Matthew 24, Jesus said. So that was the start of the end, those three signs that were given. And prophesied in the Bible. Then the countdown has been on ever since. And we got down to year 2000. Well, they wrote books about it, and they said it was the end. But I knew it wasn't. Some people don't believe anybody has a gift of prophecy or a gift of revelation, but I would be a liar if I would deny it. And I knew it wasn't. But they, Pat Robinson, you know, wrote a book, and a lot of people did prophesy that the year 2000, Christ would come, and so on and so forth, and that'd be the end. But it didn't happen, did it? When it comes to setting time, only God knows, and people say nobody can prophesy. But Daniel in the Bible was a prophet, and he said in his book that 483 years from the going forth a command to rebuild Jerusalem, that Christ would come and die on the cross. And it happened right to the day. And he has five dates, Daniel set. And Jeremiah set a date. He said it'd be 70 years that Israel would go be conquered by the Babylonians and go into captivity, and then they would come back. Well, Daniel, that's in the Bible too. Daniel read that, and he knew it was the right time, and he went to praying about it. And sure enough, the king sent Ezra and Nehemiah back with a as many as wanted to go, and he paid the whole bill. It was a big lot of people, about 40-some thousand went back. Well, they all had to be fed, and they had to have wagons and so on, and that's what he did. And it came to pass, Jeremiah's prophecy setting a date. But they, like the rest of the things they teach, man-made churches, they know little or nothing about prophecy, and they always get it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I should go and talk about the so-called pre-tribulation secret rapture. Well, uh-oh. Nothing like that uh-oh. Is in the Bible. It's all man-made, made-up stuff.
Yeah.
It never says pre-tribulation rapture or second coming or resurrection or anything like that in the Bible. It's all just man-made myth. Jesus said very plain, he couldn't have said it or used words plainer, in Matthew 24, the greatest prophecy chapter by the great Lord Jesus himself, and he said these words, that he would return immediately after the tribulation of those days. Well, those days is what he'd been talking about for the whole chapter, that there'd be great tribulation. That's only two times those words are used. One of them is right there in Matthew 24. And except those days be shortened, there would no flesh be saved alive.
Mm.
Be saved, he meant be saved alive. Flesh, you're talking about flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about flesh and born people. You understand what I'm trying to say?
Mm-hmm.
And so the elect were here, and every time the word elect is used in the New Testament, it's talking about Christians, we call them nowadays, the people of God. The elect in the Old Testament is talking about people of God too, but now there's no difference, you know, as far as Gentiles or Israel, as far as salvation's concerned, the church and in heaven, everybody's white. There's no, God is colorblind. People aren't, but God is. And good Christians are,
that's
too.
True. Mm-hmm.
Don't good Christians love everybody, Brother Emmanuel?
Yes, they do.
Regardless
they're
of the...
They're supposed to, anyway.
They're supposed to, aren't we? Ethnicity or... race or whatever, doesn't matter. I never had to unlearn prejudice because I never taught it. A child has to be taught prejudice. He's not born prejudiced. But I just love everybody. And the love of God loves everybody. Anybody got the love of God, they love everybody. They don't pay attention to race. That's just the truth. And anybody got prejudice, which is a form of hate, they on the wrong road going to the wrong place.
That's right.
I'm telling you for a fact. It's one of the reasons I love, there are many, but one of the reasons I loved A.A. Allen, the great evangelist, 10 evangelists. And he started 2 Bible colleges, non-denominational, Pentecostal type, full gospel. And he was the first one that had integrated meetings, large meetings, and welcomed colored folk, black folk back in. He's a good man. Well, and he did great, great miracles. Well, anyway, we're in the last part of the last days. When 2000 came, it's a significant number because that marks 6,000 years since Adam and Eve were put out of the garden, left the garden of Eden.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to talk about, you know, the Garden of Eden and what the tree of knowledge of good and evil was, but that's another whole subject. But it's plain in the Bible. Once it's taught, people see it automatically, but that's another subject. But it's 6,000 years since Adam left the garden, how long he was in there with Eve and all, the Bible doesn't say, but we are in the last days. And he said there too in, I think it's 2nd chapter of Genesis, that he gave the sun, moon, and stars for signs. And we sure got a lot of them in our day and time, these blood moons and all. I don't understand them. Now, astrology is fake, false. You could even say it's evil. Well, they try to hold it up because the wise men looked at the stars and they predicted Christ would be born in Palestine, the Holy Land, and that was, they had still the key, but it's been lost. They could read the stars, like the Bible said they were for signs, but not anymore.
Yes.
It's just real clever. They word their predictions of your sign or Leo or Aquarius or whatever in such a way that anything that happens in your life can be applied to it, but it's a fake. There's nothing to it. It's more evil than anything.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, don't pay attention to it and be led astray. But prophecy is one of the nine gifts. There's nine fruit, nine gifts, and nine offices of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. And five of them are the traveling ministries of Ephesians 4:11. Says he gave some apostles and some prophets and
mm-hmm.
some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Those are the traveling ministries, and then the local ministries of elders and so on, we have those too. And but that's another subject too. But at any rate, those three make times nine is 27. You add the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and then you got the fulfillment of the scripture there in Ephesians 4 that says that he gave those ministries until we all come to the measure of the stature of Christ. Well, the measure, what's the measure? 30. How old was Christ when he started preaching? 30. How old was John the Baptist when he started his ministry? 30. And so that's the measure, like a yardstick. That's the measure, that's the yardstick of the fullness of the stature. That's how tall something is of Christ. And so you got to have those apostles and prophets to have us a full measure and to bring the church to perfection.
Amen.
Which the Bible says he's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle or blemish or any
That's
such
right.
thing. In other words, it's a full overcomer, perfect church in the spiritual sense. Don't mean you never make a mistake, but your motivation is pure and holy, and you are led by the Spirit. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Well, we're in the last days of this age. There's eight ages since creation till the new heaven and a new earth, when he makes all things new. And by the way, every time Bible colleges, I went to two of them, and they teach a lot of, you know, a lot of man-made traditions, and they say there's two judgments. Judgment seat of Christ for Christian, and a general judgment for the sinner. That's not true. There's just one end time judgment. And every
That's right.
human being, demons and all, will be there and will be judged. The Christians will get rewards and be honored, and the lost will have it explained before the world why it was just for God to send them to hell. And any preacher that doesn't preach hell is a false teacher, is a false prophet,
Amen.
Or whatever you want to call him. Jesus taught it 10 times. It's horrible. Just as opposite of heaven, it's as horrible as heaven is wonderful. And God, Jesus taught about it. He didn't rail and lambast and act gleeful that people go to hell. No, of course not. He brokenhearted, but he preached it. Didn't he do it?
Yes, he did.
And 10 times he preached hell. And it's a horrible, horrible, horrible beyond imagination. And then hell,
yep.
The Bible says, 20th chapter, I think it is, Revelation, is emptied. And they're brought to the judgment. And they're judged and cast into the lake of fire. And that's the end of them. Of the devil, his angels, and the wicked. But once you die, that's the end. There is no returning. Nobody gets out of hell and goes to heaven. They just are judged to demonstrate to the universe that God is just. And Christians, true Christians, are just. And God is. We must have justice. Now, when a crime is committed and somebody's murdered, and then the relatives may forgive the murderer, and that's okay, that's necessary. But it doesn't mean they should get off just because they're forgiven. Now, that's the reason we have civil government. And it says God gave the governments of the world in Romans 13 chapter. And it's necessary to have punishment so that we can have a peaceful society and keep crime and corruption down. Personally, we forgive them, but they must be a penalty. And, of course, that's used to be in America. There was a great lot of justice, but not so much anymore, sad to say. But anyway, that's another subject. But in these last days, here's something to keep in mind. Now, this is like a revelation. This is a revelation. Two things are going on that are opposite at the same time. Think about that. The good people are getting better and better all over the world. But the wicked are getting worse and worse. And yet, those are opposite. So the world is heading two directions at the same time. How can that be? Well, take, for instance, the Western world, and the United States is the leader of it, and Europe is bad too, just as wicked as we are. But we have legalized baby killing, unborn babies.
Yes.
We kill 1,100,000 every 12 months. Isn't that, it staggers my imagination.
Yes, yeah,
beyond belief.
It's terrible. Mm-hmm.
Horrible,
yes,
horrible. And we have legalized homosexual marriage, which is no such a thing, really, but that's what they call it. But God loves the mothers that kill their babies. They repent, and same thing with homosexuals. They repent. They're in rebellion against God's order. That's why it's a sin, and there makes them in rebellion against God, and because He set up the family as a primary unit. What a beautiful thing a family is! I just love the little children.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see how anybody could want to kill them. It's amazing. I just can't help. Every time I see them at the store, Walmart or someplace, I'll smile at them. And if the mama seems agreeable and the little child is agreeable, I'll speak to them or pat them or something. I just can't help it. I just love the little children. Don't you love the little children?
Oh, yes.
I know
it's just
Emmanuel, and
terrible.
Normal people do. They're fresh from heaven. But I just get all choked up. I see a little girl or something. It just blesses me. That'd be one of my favorite blessings of heaven, is that there's little children playing around everywhere and having a good time with the birds and the animals, and they play and have a good time. They get taught, too. The angels teach them. They have teachers. And from the moment of conception, a new soul exists. So that all the ladies that had miscarriages, stillbirths, and so on, they'll get to see their babies grown up. If it's been enough time, they don't stay babies. They grow faster than they grow here, for that matter. But at any rate, mm-hmm. they'll all be there, precious, precious, precious children. God has almost like a special heaven for them. It's not really, but he's got buildings and angels and caretakers that love children. They take care of them and teach them and train them in the things of the Lord. And they grow, like I said, quickly, so that you won't necessarily see your baby. If it died as a baby in heaven, it'll, if it times went by, well, it'll be grown up. But we must live like every day is our last.
Yes.
Realize, amen,
mm-hmm.
and realize that this life is short and will soon be passed. Like the motto says, and only what's done for Christ will last. And
that's right.
Witness. I pass out tracts all my life. I don't know how many thousands of tracts, but I feel undressed if I don't have some tracts in my pocket when I leave the house. You don't have time in a checkout line to witness very much, but you can always hand them a tract and smile and say, here's a little present for you. Hope it bless you. One out of 1,000 or 10,000 times I get turned down. Almost never. The people will, I give them to, will say, well, thank you, I'll read this later. And I'll say a little word,
hopefully,
you know, I don't want
will.
You to get fired. Don't read this on the job, but read it on lunch break or something, you know. And they say,
right.
Yeah, I sure will. And they thank me. They appreciate that you're concerned about their soul. A lot of times I'll get in a witness, too. I'll say something like this. Jesus loves you, wants you to go to heaven, not to hell. And if you give him your heart and life, you can go there. And I hope to meet you there, okay? And they'll look at me and smile and say, okay. I do that a lot. Get in a witness real quick, because you don't have you can't hold up the line and preach a sermon while people behind you in a checkout line. And I'll do the same thing sometimes with the clerks that are helping you, you know, in a store and telling you where something is. I usually need help find things. And I'll ask for help. I instead of just wander around for half an hour looking for some, I don't seem like that's wisdom and not very smart. I'll ask for help. And if they act friendly, well, I'll witness to them. And I have done. Sometimes I take a while, too. But that's okay. I hope to meet some of those people. Won't that be wonderful? Somebody you gave a tract to comes up to you and says, you know me? And you'll say, no, you know, 20 years ago. Well, you handed me a tract, and I read it and got saved. Don't you know that's going to be a rejoicing, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Won't that be wonderful?
Mm-hmm. You're giving new meaning to storefront preaching.
I just love pass out tracts. I get them by the hundreds and pass them out. Well, in these last days, he said in Malachi 4th chapter that the judgments of God would be in the land, and he burned up the wicked. There'll be ashes under your feet. And in the last days, he sent Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Well, that's another whole subject. We'll get into, the Lord willing, one of these days about who Elijah the prophet was prophesied is. And he's real. And we need to understand about it because we need him. God said he would send him, didn't he do it? And he did. And we can have these things that are for the last days. Everything, there's got to be fulfilled before Jesus can come. They say he can come any moment. No. He can't come until everything is fulfilled. Just like when he came the first time, things had to be set up right. John the Baptist had to come and prepare the way. And the angel Gabriel came first, and he had to be born in a manger, and the Magi, the wise men, had to come and worship him and give. The Bible don't say how many there is. Tradition says three, because there were three gifts of frankincense, myrrh, and gold. So they take one gift for each Magi or wise man, which is okay. It's just nothing to argue about. And they needed that. It's very expensive gifts because they had to make a journey for a couple of years, live in Egypt. Well, that gave them the money to do it. The Lord provided, didn't he? And so it is now. It's the last part of the last days. 14 times the day of the Lord is used. If you want to understand the day of the Lord, all you have to do is real simple. You don't have to have an angel come and knock you in the head or something. All you got to do is read the scriptures in the Bible where that phrase is used, the day of the Lord. And every time you'll see it's a day of judgment, a day, part of it is, and of course, the final day of it is Christ's coming, but it says the day of the Lord is a day of darkness and judgment and destruction. The day of the Lord shall come as a day of destruction from the Almighty, the Bible says. And read the 14 times Old and New Testament of the prophets of that talked about it, especially. You'll understand the day of the Lord, which is part of the last days. It even talks about, describes a atomic bombs and nuclear bombs. It says in Joel's second chapter, 29 and 30 verses, that it would be as a pillar of smoke and fire and blood. In other words, blood, when talked in that sense, is always talking about killing people. And what is a nuclear bomb? It's just a giant ball of fire. And it makes a pillar of smoke. You've seen it in pictures and whatever. That's 7-8 miles high. And there it's described in Joel. And then the rockets are described several places in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
One time it calls them a flying, fiery serpent. Well, for a person, an ancient person seeing it going through the sky, that's perfect description of a nuclear rocket. Because the fire is coming out of its tail and it's flying through the air, and it causes destruction. And that's what it said it would do. It would even melt the rocks. Well, a nuclear rocket can do that. Bomb, I mean. Well, we want to give everybody, Brother Emmanuel, plenty of time to call in and ask a question or make comment or whatever.
All right.
So I'm going to wind it down and let people call, because we want to try and be a blessing. That's all I've ever tried to do. Overseas, doing missionary work, and American Indians, I just love them to pieces. They're real humble. And old Mexico interior missionary work, coast to coast, United States, and now for the last 15 years or so, our field of labor is Central America, Honduras.
Oh, yes.
Talked to my brother down there today. He called me from Honduras. And it's a wonderful mission field. But it's going towards the Lord. And 40-50% of everybody in Honduras is evangelical. And up to 90% in certain areas in Guatemala are evangelical. They elected a Pentecostal president in Guatemala. And China, where the great persecution, the communists kill Christians, put them in prison, persecute them, torture them. There's 110 million evangelical Christians, non-denominate, in China. The largest church in the world in South Korea is got 1 million and growing members, actual members, that attend church. It's like that all over the world, except the West, except America, Europe. We're going the other way, generally speaking.
Right.
It's sad but true. I wished it wasn't. I hate to say that, but I got to tell the truth. We got crime and corruption, don't we, Brother Manuel?
Yes, we do.
Here in America and the West.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean everybody, but generally speaking, it's sad. But after this day of the Lord, judgment hits the West and the world. Third World War, I call it. A great revival, the greatest has ever been on planet Earth, will break out. When the Bible says when the judgments of the Lord are in the land, the people will learn. They'll learn something. Crime doesn't pay. Sin doesn't pay. Not good, it pays bad. And the people will learn righteousness. In other words, in a common vernacular, we would say a great revival of repentance and returning to Jesus and treating people right, being kind to their neighbor and helping the poor and the people that need help, being helpful to them and helping them instead of robbing them and killing them and torturing them. Oh, my. I just don't like talk about all the evil, but I have to help people understand the judgments are coming. They're on it now. If we only could see it, He's put New Orleans underwater, flooded it up, covered up their sin twice. 3,000 one time in one of those hurricanes and tornadoes killing hundreds of people and wildfires burning houses and some people. And, you know, the judgments of the Lord are, he's just trying to wake us up. And 2,997 were killed in the Twin Towers and the other two airplanes that hit America, the terrorists did. And he's trying to wake us up. Oh, Jesus, have mercy on America. Well, he will, but it's going to take judgments first. But then the great revival, the greatest the world's ever seen. David Terrell calls it raising the dead revival. Great miracle worker.
Amen.
Terrell, we got great faith. He's the Lord using create arms, legs, missing parts, eyes, teeth, whole set of teeth, whatever, all over the world, 160 nations. And I was sitting on his platform, one of his big tents, seat up to 10,000 in San Antonio, Texas, and everybody was getting healed. I mean everybody. And he had a rope up above the platform with the canes and crutches and whatever, the braces of people that got healed and left behind. But this one lady was coming through the healing line, didn't have a foot. She had a dress on and crutches, no foot. And he just said, God bless you, and pass her on by. He wouldn't pray for her. And she come back the next night. She come back the next night. 7 nights in a row. She had more faith than he did. And finally, the 7th time she come through the healing line, the Lord spoke to Brother Terrell and said, pray for her. And he said in his mind, you know, back to the Lord, like he looked back up, you know, and said, well, I would, Lord, if she had a foot. And the Lord said, I didn't ask you if she had a foot. I just told you what to do. In other words, you take care of your business and I take care of mine. Well, Brother Terrell kind of gets rough when he prays for you, but he puts his heart, body, soul, everything into his prayers, and he grabbed a hold of that lady with both hands and by the head, and he just like to shook her, but he grabbed a hold and he said, Lord, put a foot on this woman. And you know what? That's exactly what the Lord did. Out popped a foot just pretty as you please. Didn't have a shoe on it, but it sure was a foot. And a man was sitting on a in that tent revival, and he said, praise God, Brother Terrell. He come a hobbling up and hopping and pulling his shoe and his stocking off at the same time. And he said, Brother Terrell, when he got up the platform, he said, Brother Terrell just watched him. And he said, if God can put a foot on that woman, he can put some toes on me. And pray for me, Brother Terrell. My toes were had to be taken off of frostbite in the Korean War. So Brother Terrell grabbed a hold of him and same way, boy, he prays for you. You know you've been prayed for. And he said, Lord, put some toes on this man. Brother Terrell had a pretty strong southern accent back in those days. And out popped 5 toes, just pretty as you please. And Brother Terrell, I can't mimic him very good, but something like this, he said, Well, I never did think toes is very pretty, but I thought those are the prettiest toes I ever did see.
That's funny.
But a toe is a case. I tell you, he's one of a kind, one of the greatest prophetically gifted vision that ever walked on the face of the earth, maybe the greatest in vision that ever lived on planet Earth. Well, anyway,
you know,
let me hush up now and let people call, and you give them the number and everything, okay, Brother Emmanuel?
No problem, no problem. So, folks, if you want to call in and you have a comment or question or a prayer request for Brother Daniel, please do call in at 323-870-3403. That number again is 323-870-3403. We have about 6 minutes left, so if you want to quickly call in, go ahead and do so. You know, Brother Daniel, I wrote Brother Terrell about coming on the broadcast. Haven't heard anything back yet. I suppose maybe he didn't see the email. Maybe he did and just declined. But I'm going to keep trying to see if I can get him on the broadcast. Amen. So, folks, the number is 323-870-3403. If you're out there and you're listening, you just want to encourage Brother Daniel, maybe give him some encouragement, tell him keep coming on doing what he's doing. The number is 323-870-3403. In the meantime, Brother Daniel, are you going to be able to continue this next Monday?
Yes, sure am.
Amen, amen. That is excellent. So no one's called in. So, Brother Daniel, what I'll say is maybe if you want to just say a prayer, as we get ready to close out, don't forget,
okay,
people of God, tonight the broadcast will be back on at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. So if you're listening now live, or you're listening a little bit later in a couple hours or so, we'll be back on tonight at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time here on God's Word to Man, okay? So, Brother Daniel, go ahead and close us out in prayer. Doesn't look like we're going to get any callers, okay?
Okay. Yeah, maybe somebody will still call. All right, Lord, you know we want you to get all the praise, the honor, and the glory, so that when we meet you face to face at the judgment, or when we pass, we'll be able to say, Lord, I tried to give you all the praise, and you always tell the truth, and you'll say, yes, I know you did. Those words will mean everything to little old Daniel. And I've already been to heaven, talked to Jesus, which was awesome. Encouraged me all my life. I died of double pneumonia, woke up in heaven. But Jesus, you know somebody's out there that is lost, save them. Help them to turn their heart to you, and somebody that's sick, give them faith. Heal them, Lord, right now. Somebody that needs the touch of the Holy Ghost, fill them with your sweet spirit, that humble, sweet, gentle Holy Ghost spirit, the way they got it in the Bible, and they spoke in other languages, and whatever the need is, Lord, of a lost loved one that's wandered away, a child, bring them back to the fold, or of a couple that's having marital problems, touch their marriage and give them peace and love for each other, and restore them even greater. Whatever the need is, Lord, there's all kind of needs. And this old world is so needy. Meet those needs, Lord. You love us, and you want to save us. You want us to go to heaven, not to hell. So, Lord, touch us humans. Turn our hearts and minds to you, because you're the only God there is. All others are not of God. They're idols or false religions or whatever. But Jesus, you are the Lord God that died on the cross. And you love us, want us to be with you forever. And we can if we'll repent of our sins and ask you to save us. So that's what we pray for right now, Lord. We pray that any heart that's out there that doesn't know you, that has heard this broadcast, will turn to you and ask you to save them and forgive them of their sins. And we know you will. Anybody comes to you, you won't turn them away. It don't matter what they've done, if they've how bad a sin, or if they've killed their baby, committed an abortion, or it doesn't matter. All we have to do is say, Lord, forgive me. And a backslider, you still love them. You love everybody all the time. As long as we're in this world, we can repent. Once we leave this world, there's no repentance. It can be accomplished. But as long as we're in this world, Jesus, we can. And touch them with your love. Let them know you love them. That's why you died on the cross. And that's why you took that awful beating. And your beard was torn off your face. You were spit on and beat. And they slapped you in the face. And finally drug you away to that cruel cross. And put those big spikes in your hands and in your feet. Tied you to that cross and left you there to die. Suffer the cruelty that you didn't deserve. You did it for them, for me, for everybody. So help
yes,
us, Lord. Help us all to walk circumspectly.
Yes,
encourage if there's a Christian that's discouraged. Have mercy on them and touch them with an encouraging touch. And
yes,
help
Lord.
Them to know that you love them just like you do me. You send the little birdies, and even sent one inside the house, little tight mouse. And I told it, get on my finger. I'm going to carry you to the other end of this 80-foot mobile home. And it hopped up on my finger, and I said, now you stay right there. And it stayed right there, and I walked clear through the other end of the trailer. Opened my door, stayed right there. I opened the screen door, stayed right there. And I put it outside, and I said, now you can fly away. It just flew over to the railing of the deck, looked back at me as if to say thank you, and then flew away. Did that twice. How it even, either one of them got in the house, I don't know. But the Lord talks to me and encourages me with the little birdies. He's got all kind of ways with different people. He can encourage you whatever way, touch you with his spirit. Neighbor, Christian, if you're wondering if Jesus has forsaken you, he hasn't. He said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. If you're wondering if you've had such a hard time and a terrible trial and awful things have happened, you wonder if God loves you. I'm here to tell you, neighbor, God loves you. Yes, you. Neighbor, look up. Look up. Jesus loves you. Turn to Jesus right now, and he'll touch you. Kneel down before the Maker. Oh, I'm always happy every morning when I can kneel down. It always blesses me that I have God to go to and talk to and pray to, and I can kneel down before him. It feels so good. It feels so good every morning. I love to do it. just because God is love, the Bible says, First John 4:13-18, those words are in the Bible. God is love. That's his nature.
Amen.
He can't do anything
Amen.
Else but love you.
Amen.
He loves your neighbor. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And we'll say amen. Get all the praise, the honor, and the glory, for you alone are
amen.
Worthy.
Amen. Amen.
Back over to Brother Emmanuel.
Thank you, Brother Daniel. Thank you so much. And thank you for all the listeners who listened in this afternoon. May God bless you. May God keep you. And may God go with you is our prayer. Don't forget, we'll be back on tonight at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. And as always, may God bless you. Take care. Bye-bye.
We give you glory. Long time.